I'm willing to bet, and I know we're not supposed to probably be betting in church, but I'm willing to bet that if I were to connect with each of you at the end of 2020 and ask you if you made any new relationships during that 12-month period, the answer would be yes. Straight across the board, I think every single one of us in here will make new relationships. Now, some of the relationships will be good ones, will be healthy, will be exciting. But some of the relationships could also be draining, destructive, and harming to us. But I'm going to just bet that within these 12 months, one way or another, you will have a different relationship that you don't have today. Membership, what we just witnessed and were a part of, is this relationship. An intentional deepening of a relationship between Kevin and Kathy in this case, and the church body. Before we get started this morning, I just want to encourage us that we will see throughout Scripture, this morning as we spend some time in Scripture, as you spend time doing your devotions, you will see the importance and the significance that Christ puts on relationship. And I encourage you this year to be very intentional about the relationships that you have a part of your life. Because who you bring into your life will help shape you and form you to be the person that you are. It will also give you opportunity to bless and to walk with somebody and to be blessed and walked with through the journey of life. Let's go ahead and pray together before we get started. Heavenly Father, we ask for your anointing on us today. Place your anointing on me as your messenger today. God, move in our lives this morning. Open our eyes so that we may see your word. Open our ears so we may hear your word. Open our minds so that we may understand your word. And Lord God, open our hearts so that we may receive your word today. Pray these things in your name. Amen. I believe wholeheartedly of the importance and the significance of relationships within the church. We should, I believe, connect with like-minded people so that we can build each other up, we can worship together, we can learn together, we can minister together. And when we do these things, we will end up loving each other and stand together throughout all of life's circumstances. And this is so evident within relationships within this own congregation. As I stand before you, some of you have been critical in my journey of my life, especially in the last couple of years, of supporting and walking with. And I know some of you have supported and walked with others and vice versa. We could spend the rest of the morning sharing these kind of stories because I know we already do it to some degree. But I think we need to just continually be intentional about this. If you think about the church obviously is about serving a risen Savior. There's no question about that. The church is about getting into the Word of God. It's about praying. It's about serving other people. The church is about praising and worshiping an awesome God. The church is about investing into the lives of others and inviting them to know Jesus Christ. But the church is also about building meaningful relationships with like-minded people. The reason meaningful relationships within the church are so important is because they can help us build each other up. They can help us worship together in new ways. They can help us learn, and we can minister together. When God created us, He did not create us to be individualistic. He created us to be a part of others' lives. And this is evidenced right from the beginning when you look back at God and Adam in the book of Genesis, right? What does God see? He sees Adam by himself. What does he say? He says, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God was setting a pattern for all of mankind to move us from isolation to relation. Even through those of us that are introverts at heart, we are to be a part of a bigger thing. The main passage that we're going to look at this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it'll be page 474. We're going to chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes, starting at verse 9. Starting at verse 9, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has nobody to help him up." When we have good, deep, godly friendships, we will become stronger together. And if you're taking notes, I understand. It doesn't quite line up with what's in the bulletin because I change stuff after Friday. They've given me the privilege of being able to do that sometimes. When we have deep, godly friendships, we will become stronger together. As individuals, we will become stronger. As a church, a part of the kingdom of God, we will become stronger. There are times in everyone's life in which we face tough situations. It's during those times that the people with whom we have developed these godly, biblical-based relationships will build us up. They are the people who come to comfort you when you're down. They come alongside you and they strengthen you when you're weak. They're the ones who help calm you when you're scared. But when we're involved in a meaningful relationship with a fellow brother or sister of Christ, they don't have to be told to come and to build you up when they know that you're down. The Holy Spirit just lays that on their heart, and they need to be obedient. When we are in a meaningful relationship with like-minded people, the Holy Spirit is going to impress on you what you need to do and what you need to say when somebody else needs building up. The author of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says, "Consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." You know how that happens? It happens through having good relationships with people. That's how you're going to spur somebody on towards love and good deeds. There's got to be a foundation there. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2, he says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." Obey the law of Christ. That means that we are told, that we are commanded to bear each other's burdens. It's not just a nice idea for us to consider, but we are expected to bear the burdens of our brothers and our sisters in Christ. It's in the times of deep crisis and grief and doubt that we need each other the most, perhaps. When the circumstances of life begin to just crush us to the point that our faith is even faltering, that we're questioning, where is God in the mix of all this? That is when We need a close friend to come alongside and walk with us and support us. It's those times when we need a close friend, not to put us down or to make us feel worse or to rub salt in the wound and let us know that we were a part of getting to where we're at, but rather we need a close friend to help build us up, to push us ahead, and to help us get through what we're going through. We need to cultivate the habit of bearing each other's burdens intentionally. To lend a hand by lifting a heavy load for a brother or a sister. Burdens are the overloads which we can lighten by building meaningful relationships with the people that are sitting right around you in this room this morning. I hear it all the time, is a fair statement to say, as I walk with Christian people and families through difficult things. Here's what I hear so often is, I don't know how people walk through this kind of a situation. And you can fill in the blank, right? Whether it's somebody that's just been diagnosed with cancer or some horrific accident that took place or loss of employment or even death. Right? I don't know how people walk through these kind of situations is what I hear without God and close friends that believe the same. I hear it all the time. Many of you have spoken these words or similar words to me in the last 10 years that I've been around here. You see, building meaningful relationships with some people that think alike will almost certainly mean that you will be cared for when it's needed. And also have the opportunity to show care to others, a part of your church family. In these kinds of relationships, we are there for each other. United we stand, divided we fall, right? We can do a lot of things when we unite together as the body of Christ. When we have deep, godly friendships, we will worship and learn together as well. That's the second point. Also slightly changed from on the screen. The author of Hebrews went on to say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, he said, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." Let us encourage one another. We are called by God to worship Him when we are alone and when we are together. Let us not give up meeting together. Something supernatural happens whenever we worship God, both in our alone times and then when we come together and do it as a community. You know what that supernatural thing is? It's this. We overcome, by God's grace, Satan when we worship our God. When people of faith gather together in the name of Jesus to praise and to worship God, the Scriptures promise us that the presence of Christ is there with them. Right? Here's a familiar passage to most of us, and we typically tie it into the concept of prayer from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew says, he says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything, you ask for it, and it will be done for you by my Father in heaven." And get this, it goes on. It says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." I don't think that sentence is limited to just prayer. I believe that when we come together as a body of Christ, "there I am with them" becomes true. And when Christ is on the scene, the enemy has to flee. Obviously, we understand what it means to come together, right? That's what we've done this morning. We've come together. But what does it mean to worship? I think Rick Warren, in his book Purpose-Driven Life, gives a great definition of this word worship. He says this, it's so simple but so profound. The heart of worship is surrender. Just think of that. The heart of worship is surrender. The heart of worship is not Dustin getting what Dustin wants. The heart of worship is not anybody else in here getting what they want. The heart of worship is about us surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ. It's about us surrendering our actions to Jesus Christ. It's about us surrendering our words to Jesus Christ. That's the heart of worship. The heart of worship is total and complete surrender. When the church gets together and begins to worship God in spirit and in truth, God gets a great big smile on His face. I'm convinced of it. He loves it when we come to worship Him. It brings God great pleasure because, guess what? He created us for worship. If the heart of worship is surrender, then when we surrender to God our whole self, we are bringing pleasure to Him. True worship brings pleasure to God. When we take down all the barriers that block our total surrender to God, fear, pride, confusion, problems, trials, and we give God total control of our lives, then we are truly worshiping Him. David said that he was glad, this is from Psalm chapter 122, David said that he was glad when they said to him, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord. The Apostle Paul defines the philosophy of worshiping together and learning together in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." That's a picture of worship. There's a pastor by the name of Ross Parsley, and he writes this about worship. He says, "Life-giving worship is not just singing, nor is it a three-song warm-up for the sermon. Life-giving worship doesn't only happen when we gather for Sunday services, nor is it an event. It's a lifestyle." It's a lifestyle, he says. So we got to ask, is it your lifestyle? Are you worshiping God at home? Are you worshiping God at work? Are you worshiping God in the hallways of your schools? Are you worshiping God as you do whatever recreational activities you do? If you're not worshiping God, then you won't be worshiping God when we get together in church. It's a lifestyle. It's not 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. We need to worship God in spirit and truth, Scripture tells us. Worshiping God in spirit is communicating to God our love for Him. And worshiping God in truth is reflecting who He is in us. When we have deep, godly friendships, we will minister together. And we will do it so much better than when we try to do it on our own. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Meaningful relationships produce fruit. Right? Think back to scriptures when Jesus had gathered the disciples to send them out to do ministry. He didn't send them out one by one to go and do ministry, right? He sent them in groups of two. There's a reason for that. When we partner with friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, the work gets done so much easier and so much more effectively. Statistically, and I have said this for the last 10 years, I think, statistically they say that within the church as a whole, so the church universal, work seems to be done 80% of the work by 20% of the people, and 20% of the people do 80% of the work. That might be true in some churches. I don't think it's true in ours. I really don't. I think you guys do a great job of pulling up beside each other and letting your passions guide how you use your time and your energies. Keep doing that. But that concept might be why Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. When people who love Christ set their minds to work together in unity for the sake of the kingdom of God, it's a powerful thing. Remember I said earlier that saying, divided we fall, united we stand? If you are not serving God in some fashion today, I encourage you to stand united by serving God. Get together with a brother or sister that's already serving and say, can I walk with you? Can I help you? Go to one of our directors of ministries and say, hey, look, I want to get involved in helping here at Fairland. How can I plug in under your ministry? Come talk to me. I'd love to guide you in the process of figuring out where would be the best spot for you to minister, to serve. You will see, as you do that, the joys of doing kingdom work by serving God. You'll see the joys of the impact that that kind of work makes in the lives of other people. So much of what we do outside of the church, it might have an immediate impact and result that we can see and be proud of, but all of that is temporal. It all goes away. Every bit of it does. But one thing that doesn't is the changes that happen in somebody else's life because you've chosen. You've chosen to serve in some way. And through that service, somebody's life was impacted. It can have incredible, incredible impacts well beyond what you can even see. There's a young man that was a part of our youth group ministry back in Ohio. And during the years that I knew him, his name's Miles. During the years I knew Miles, he was a rough kid, always rough around the edges, came from a rough household, so there's no question as to why he had some of the struggles that he had in life. Miles didn't really seem to connect a whole lot in regards to the faith piece of life as we were going through youth group together. It was probably about 3 or 4 years ago now that Miles reached out to me through an email and said, Dustin, I don't know why, but God just laid on my heart to tell you this. The ministry that was happening at Fairview Church back in Ohio, the ministry that was happening there had a huge impact on my life. And I want you to know what I'm doing today. So I emailed him back, said, what are you doing today? And I hear this story, how Miles is a missionary in South Korea and gets into North Korea as well. He's there today. He's ministering to people that many of us would be scared to go over and minister to be quite frank. The impact that you can have in somebody's life, you may never know it on this side of earth. But it can be huge. You impact one person, they might impact hundreds or thousands. Think of Billy Graham. He grew up in a tiny little church. Probably the biggest influence in recent history. I want you to listen to a biblical principle that's found in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. It says, five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. What this verse is simply saying is we can accomplish so much more together. There's power in numbers. There's strength in numbers. If one of us can impact 50 lives, here's the deal. It's not even as simple. If one of us can impact 50 lives, it'd be simple to say, well, 200 of us can impact 10,000 lives. Right? Do the math. If we would agree that one could impact 50 people, and 10,000 lives could be impacted by 200 of us here at Fairland. But God doesn't do simple math. We all know that. So maybe one of the lives you impact is going to end up impacting another 150 or 200 or thousands of people's lives. Church ministry flourishes when we work together. I think a great acronym to help us remember that concept is just simply the word team. I saw this last week. I think it's great. Together, everyone achieves more. Right? Team. Together, everyone achieves more. I want you to say that with me. Together, everyone achieves more. Scripture time and time again reminds us of the fact that each of us is personally responsible for God's work. And we need to work together in that process. If we leave it for somebody else to do, or for everyone else to do, right? Oh, there's lots of people here. I don't need to do it. You know what happens sometimes? Nobody does it. So when you sense God nudging you, respond to that nudge. Don't leave it for somebody else or for everyone else. Because so often then nobody does it. I encourage us to look into our own lives this morning and to decide to work together until Jesus comes back. We're at the beginning of a new year, 2020. Let's take some time and evaluate our friendships that we have. Especially the friendships that we have within our church of like-minded people. Let's ask ourselves a couple questions as we do that. Are we developing meaningful relationships? That'd be a good question. Are the relationships that I'm investing in challenging me to be a better person? As a result of the relationships that I have or that I want to pursue, will I be able to serve God in new ways, in stronger ways? I encourage you as you leave here, don't wait till June or July like we do with all of our other New Year's resolutions. You'll notice I didn't say anything about resolutions in this because those are all done by now, right? We're 3 weeks into the year. So don't wait till June or July to begin this process, but do it tomorrow or today yet. Start saying, who do I need to reach out to? Be intentional about it. It might feel weird at times, but Rachel and I have done this probably 5 or 6 different times in our lives where we've just sensed God saying, for whatever reason, you need to reach out to this person or these people and just build friendships with them. And we've done it, and it kind of feels weird sometimes. It's like, well, like it doesn't seem like this clicks real well, God, but we're trusting that you're going to do something with it. But just be responsive to whatever God might say to you would be my encouragement. as you spend a little bit of time thinking through the relationships that you have and that God might want you to have in 2020. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the gift of people. We are so thankful for the gift of relationships, friendships that support us, that encourage us, to help us to learn, to grow, that allow us to minister, to do your work more effectively. Lord God, as we go into these next months ahead, may each one of us keep an open mind to listening to you as to who we may tap on the shoulder, who we may pursue in regards to a friendship or a relationship for your kingdom's sake. Lord God, help us to be used in the relationships we already have, to be able to build others up, encourage others, teach others, and bring people into our lives that can do the exact same for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.